What were you just saying there?
I was just saying, point to me.
Can you get on mic?
Yeah, point to me.
Yeah, I'm pointing.
Are you?
There you go.
No, you're not pointing to me at all.
I would. Yeah.
No, you're pointing to that wall.
I'm pointing at you.
Oh, now you are. Now you've twisted your wrist a little. I didn't know what the hell you were doing.
Can we just say that when I point anywhere?
Oh, really? Is that do you want the rule to be?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
I don't feel like I should have to.
If point. Your index finger is at all extended, that means we're on the air.
I mean, like, do you want to do one of these like forensic?
Pointing to me is too much to ask for my partner of 30 years. Oh, please don't make me point directly at you. You have a life, I guess.
Usually, it's just enough to hear.
All right. Anyway, now why did you put this in front of me just seconds before we went on the air? WFMU transmitter meter readings.
It's scrap paper.
Well, I'll read it. I don't know who will care about this.
No, it's scrap paper.
Sunday, July 13th, 1 p.m. Plate voltage 9999. Plate current in amps 1.02.
These are trade secrets. You shouldn't be announcing this stuff on the air.
Sunday, July 13th, 2014. 2014?
Yeah, 5 years ago.
Why would you have this lying around?
Well, we don't need to. That's why it's in the scrap paper pile.
Guess what the plate voltage was? Hey, Irwin, guess what the plate voltage was Sunday, July 13th, 2014 at 8 p.m. It's going to rock your world. You won't believe it.
16, he says.
8,983.
This is fascinating.
Aha! Fooled you both. I can't believe you believe me. It was 6,983. Ah, you should see your faces. Oh, my God. You were hooked, baby. Come on. You believe me. Don't deny it. I had you. That's how you punk somebody. You just went to school, baby.
Can you do the plate voltage joke again? That really killed.
That's punking your friends 101.
Yeah.
How you doing, buddy? I know I've been gone the last couple
of
weeks.
Yeah, welcome back. Welcome back. And welcome to Ethan in Brooklyn. You're on the air.
No.
Hey.
Why would
Ethan.
Anyone call?
Good evening, guys.
Hey, Ethan.
Oh.
How you doing?
Wait, is he calling him on? Is he on topic?
Why are you upset, Andy? Why are you upset? Ethan, have you ever saved somebody's life?
Couple of times.
Couple of times.
Do you work? Are you an EMT? Are you a medic of some kind?
Not at all.
So tell us a story of the life that you saved.
And if we approve, if it's a good story, if it's solid, it feels real, and we can confirm it somehow.
Sure.
You get a T-shirt. You walk away with a T-shirt.
We can go chronological. They're both babies from a burning building.
You saved two babies from two different burning buildings?
Decades apart, yeah.
Where were the parents?
This is the guy. This is the guy we want if there's a burning building. This is the guy we want in the neighborhood.
If you're a baby.
Yeah, if you're a baby.
I don't think he
can. Ethan doesn't care about the adults. They're too heavy. What's your limit, Ethan? 10 pounds? 12 pounds? How heavy does a person have to be before you say, I pass?
When they're out of diapers, there's no way.
Yeah. All right, tell us the story. And let me ask you this. We have access to the internet. We can bring up news stories from the past. Are either of these stories that we can confirm?
Not with the internet.
You mean they go back? They go back too far?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that anything really made the news.
Saving a baby from a burning building, that seems newsworthy. But go ahead, let's hear the story.
So, baby number one was my younger brother, and we were in Great Meadows, New Jersey, a lovely small town in northwestern New Jersey. I'm sure you guys are both.
I believe it's in the northwest section of the state.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, beautiful town.
The house got struck by lightning. I didn't know what was going on.
Holy moly.
Yep. I thought someone had fired a gun at the roof of the building.
Was it a single family house?
It was.
And was there an antenna or any kind of grounding on the roof that failed?
I think it was just a black cloud. Or maybe it only happened so that I could call in tonight to talk to you guys.
So you were in the building, it was hit by lightning.
Yep.
The building caught fire.
My stepmom was rushing back and forth like crazy, running around. I didn't know. I still didn't know. I was pretty young. I was maybe 7.
Wait, you mean your stepmom, her priority was not the baby?
Well, I don't know what she was doing. You know, adults can be pretty weird.
Yeah.
You were a level-headed 7-year-old.
Yeah.
And you went in and grabbed the baby.
So she's running around.
What was she doing? I've got to know. There's a baby in two.
I think she was trying to figure out if the, you know.
She was freaking out.
Fire. She called my dad, was like, hey, the house has been.
She called your dad by phone?
Yeah. We're talking early 80s.
Thank God. Thank God you were in the house, man.
So, I say that I saved my brother from the burning building. My stepmom's like, she grabbed me, took me to the baby's room, picks the baby up, takes us both outside, sits me down, and here's the heroic part.
Wait, yeah.
She handed me the baby and said, hold your brother, stay right here.
Oh, so you didn't save your brother from the burning building?
What would she have done without me?
Well, the stepmom carried him in to the baby's room. And together, they took the baby.
Yeah, that's not saving.
That's barely an assist.
That's not T-shirt worthy.
We went in together. The two of us walked.
Ethan, I'm sorry. This is not T-shirt.
No, I would say this. Is your stepmom still alive and kicking? Is she still with us?
Absolutely. Spoke to her this morning.
If we would send her a T-shirt, she saved two people that night.
Yeah. Well, I think Ethan could have saved himself.
I didn't even know what was going on.
No, Ethan was not the together 7-year-old you thought he was, Ken. Ethan was soiling his pants. Ethan had it was clueless.
Were you soiling your pants, Ethan?
Ethan, can you get your stepmom?
I wasn't together enough to even be scared.
God, Ethan, we have a T-shirt for your stepmom. If you can conference call her in, phone right now?
Want to hear story number baby number two?
Well, first I want a conference call in with your stepmom.
Is baby number two better than
you're denying baby number one?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, our standards are a little higher than
that. Yeah, give us baby number two quick.
Now it's high school. It's like early 90s. Trying to get stoned with my friends. They were not in class.
You have Ken's full attention.
They were smoking dope somewhere.
Uh-huh.
So I went to the apartment where they were living, and it was oddly quiet. And I knocked on the door, no answer. Oddly quiet. Knocked again, and I heard from inside, help! And I opened the door just a little bit, and smoke billowed out. Close the door.
Get on the phone, Ethan. I can barely hear you.
Close the door.
Billowed out. I closed the door. Stepped off the porch. And then I heard from the second floor, help, help. And it was a couple upstairs. The baby. And they handed me the baby from the second floor. And then they climbed down.
What do you say, Eddie? T-shirt worthy?
Nope.
Nope.
Size large.
Not T-shirt worthy.
Could they have made that escape with the baby without you?
No way.
I think they could have.
They could have wrapped it in a sheet and lowered the sheet. Like Moses was lowered. But wait. Were your friends in the apartment that was, were there fatalities that night?
No. Actually, the little brother, he was fine. He hid under the fish tank. The heat of the fire, the fish tank exploded. He was doused with fish tank water, and he survived. But he was in there for a long time. He did make it out.
I would say I believe this gentleman. The story rings true. But I don't think anyone has earned a T-shirt yet, except for your stepmom. Is there any way to get her on the phone? Can you conference her in right now?
Hold on. How do I do that?
You hit merge. What do you hit, Ken, on the phone? Call, merge.
Add call.
Add call.
You guys you're tough. You are tough.
Well, Ethan,
we're fair but firm.
If every person who claimed that they saved a baby from a fire got a T-shirt who didn't really save a baby from a fire, the world economy would probably collapse.
When you wear our, when you wear one of our I Saved a Life T-shirts, it should really mean something. Because you wear one of these T-shirts and people will be buying you free drinks, right? You won't be able to walk down the street without getting mobbed.
We're looking for people who saved somebody's life. The phone number is 201-209-9368.
And 201-209-9368, yep.
Wait, yeah, I tried to call my stepmom, but it put you on hold. I'm not that technologically savvy. I guess I'm just going to take the walk.
Okay, if you can get hold of your stepmom, have her call us because she has a T-shirt coming.
Thanks, Ethan. We have somebody else on the line, somebody who claims that they've saved a life. Have you saved a life?
I feel like I've saved the stupid station.
You have not.
I feel like I have.
But you have not.
I can't help but feel like I have.
Well, we have another call. It's Mike in Denville. You're on the air.
Hey, love the show, guys.
Hey, hey, Mike. Thanks, Mike. We can't believe you got through.
Two different people's lives. Two separate occasions.
Oh, we have another. We have another one going for a twofer.
Yeah. So the first one, I was in sixth grade, and we were at the at the lunch table, and one of my buddies was eating an orange and like decided to eat the peel for whatever reason. But
oh, it's a Heimlich maneuver story.
Yeah.
Exactly. We love those.
They're both Heimlich maneuvers.
Okay, go ahead, man.
So like he started choking on the thing and turned like purple, you know, and we'd like just learned how to do the Heimlich maneuver in health class. Kids are freaking out, didn't know what to do, so I like ran over there and gave him a couple pumps, and he just like spit that thing across the table.
Newspaper
and stuff.
I'm so sorry. Describe the pumps. You lock your hands around his upper chest. Is that right?
It's like the like midway. Like you got to use your finger, like use both hands.
And then you squeeze him as hard as you can.
You pretty much You like kind of do like an upward thrust.
Right.
And it's hard to explain. Not really, but...
Man, thank God. You mean if you had not learned, if you had not gone to that health class a few weeks before...
Yeah, that poor kid could have died, man.
Poor kid. I mean, what kind of kid would eat an orange peel?
Oh, he was a little nutty.
Yeah, so you saved the life of a moron. Does he still get a shirt
I don't know. He's in the Air Force now.
He's in the Air Force now. He's protecting you and your family.
So he's a hero.
He's keeping you safe. He's a hero. Yeah.
Sounds like he was a moron.
I think the real hero is this kid.
He's funny.
I'm not sure this merits a T-shirt.
I think it certainly does.
There's another moron walking the earth who
every victim here or would-be victim is going to be a little stupid.
Yeah, but he ate an orange peel.
Well, the other kid
got another one, too. It's even better.
Okay, go ahead, Mike.
So it was the last day of high school, and me and all my buddies, like, you know, got all tuned up and decided to go over to the White Castle, you know?
Hang on a second. Andy, he means
tuned
they
up.
got high.
Tuned up?
Yeah, it means that they got high.
I got you. Yeah. Thanks for that. Yep.
Go on, Mike.
And, yep. We went to the White Castle, you know, and ordered, like two Crave cases.
Yeah.
There's a couple of us there.
You were all free. You guys were all Friedmaned up.
Yeah, Friedmaned up. I like that.
Exactly.
Stay up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I decided, like, the one shot of burger, you know, just, like, eat one in one bite. And my friend, like, didn't like the way I did it or whatever, you know, it wasn't good enough. So he tried to do it, and that thing got stuck in his throat. I mean, like, he could feel a lump in his throat and everything.
He was trying to one shot the burger. Now, when somebody's really choking, they cannot say, "Help me, I'm choking."
No, he was like looking in a panic, you know, like doing the arm. They tell you to do this thing with your hands. I guess it's kind of good we all learn that stuff because, you know, could have been dead. Everyone else was cracking up. I'm over there like, yeah.
So now you're over there doing it. You leaped into the fray because you've had experience.
Yeah, he was sitting right across the table from me too.
But I mean, you remembered from years earlier that you had done it once before. You were a veteran.
The whole big joke after that. Yeah, I was in the newspaper the first time. Funny.
For the moron.
For the moron, yeah.
But not for the guy.
Well, I guess they're kind of both morons.
Every
victim
so.
Here. We're not going to find a. We're not going to find an innocent victim, Ken.
Sure, we are.
They're all in. They're all nuts.
All right, Mike.
How about that baby lying right under, near a bolt of lightning?
That baby was a genius lying under the fish tank. Brilliant.
Yeah, that sounded like a good one.
No, no, the baby in the very first story.
Okay. Hey, Mike, did you give your email address to Nick the Bard?
I did.
Great. Okay, so I'll give you a half a T-shirt for each one of those morons whose life you saved.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
I love
give your T-shirt
I'll
size.
All right, Mike, I'll email you tomorrow.
Great. Thank you, Kevin.
Wait, hold on. Wait,
thanks for the call.
Yeah, wait, hold on. Wait, we have to talk about...
Mike.
No, hold on. We have to talk about T-shirts for our marathon. We have to plug. Hold on. We have a live show to plug.
Right. Mischief Night, Wednesday night, October 30th. We're looking for stand-up comedians to perform at 7 Second Delay Mischief Comedy Night at Monty Hall. If you're a stand-up comedian, email me at ken@wfmu.org.
And after the show, the whole audience is going to be handed rolls of toilet paper.
Right.
Because it's Mischief Night. And we're going to go down the block and we're going to TP...
Rival
radio stations.
Oh, it's going to be so
K-Rock is right down the street.
Z100 is right down the street.
Yeah, so we're gonna really, really pull a couple great pranks on them.
Every person who comes to the show Wednesday, October 30th, gets a roll of toilet paper and the address of a rival radio station.
And we'll go with them.
Yeah.
Can you imagine your face? You're a DJ at K-Rock. You come in to work in the next morning. What? The door? The trees? The whole building? Is TP toilet paper everywhere?
We have to wrap the entire building.
Can you imagine their face, Ken? They won't know what hit them. They won't know it's us because nobody listens to us.
Let's take another call, and then we'll plug the next thing.
And what if they come around and accuse us? We'll have to kill them. Do we have a gun? We'll have to shoot them.
We have a baseball bat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll kill them with a baseball bat. Then no one will be the wiser. Hey, so we're giving T-shirts away if you've saved a life. 201-209-9368. We're going to pause here for a minute for Ken to apologize. He didn't think anyone would call at all tonight.
I'm sorry, Andy.
That's okay. Now we're going to continue with the show. 201-209-9368.
Rhonda, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Rhonda.
What, a chick? A chick saved someone's life? This is going to be fantastic.
Wait, what?
This is great. It's a chick calling that saves someone's life.
Oh, yeah, you know. But the guy who called before kind of, you know, both of mine are Heimlichs. So,
okay, we'll take it. How did you know how to perform the Heimlich?
From school. I was taught in a class in school.
Okay, tell me the story exactly as I'm sure you've told it 1,000 times in your life.
Okay, well, the first one was my sister. I was 19 years old. She was 22, and we were on a road trip from Atlanta to LA, and we were just talking and snacking in the car, and she just turned to me with like utter panic in her face and started doing the kind of the flailing hand thing. Like, she just clearly couldn't breathe. Like, she was choking,
pointing at her mouth
on these like little vegan snacks. At the time she was vegan, these like fake meats, like, vegan snacks, and one was like stuck in her throat, and so she pulled over really quickly. We were on like a dirt road in Alabama, like a back road, and she pulled over.
She was driving.
The Heimlich, and it flew out of her mouth, hit the windshield of the car.
And wow, she was driving. She was driving. She was snacking while she drove.
No, she was driving.
She was driving. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Rhonda, did you save that vegan chip that almost killed her?
No, I do not believe it. I actually told her, you should really not eat these anymore. Clearly, they're not good for your health.
Good advice.
And also, she's not vegan anymore now. So.
Yeah. Story has a very happy ending.
Yeah, that will do it. That will do it to you. That's God saying, hey, you might want to look at the other side of the menu.
Yeah. And the second one was a child, a 9-year-old boy who I was taking care of. I was a nanny for 4 years in Chicago, and the family, I was just working one night. I made them dinner. We had a steak for dinner, and the 9-year-old didn't cut his pieces well enough, and he started to choke, and same thing, just like utter panic in the face, and I just turned around, did the Heimlich, and it was
now
okay.
When you do these Heimlichs, does it come out on the first try? I mean, was there a very tense 3 or 4 or 5 attempts?
I would say I did it each time probably 3 or 4 times, yes.
Wow. Ken, do you know how to do the Heimlich?
I do. In fact, I'm the guy in the Heimlich poster.
You posed for that poster?
Yeah, that's me. The guy with the blue face?
Yeah.
That's me. I modeled for that. I did the Heimlich on myself once. So that's why I got the job.
Well, then you did save a life.
Yeah, I saved my own life. I was trying to tell my girlfriend that I was joking.
And she wasn't responding?
The family that I worked for, and I saved the kid's life, I got extra money that week.
How much did they give you?
I got $100 extra.
Well, then you don't get a T-shirt. You've already been compensated.
No, she got $100 for the second life she saved.
We'll give her the T-shirt we send you is for the first life.
For her sister.
Okay, yeah, for my sister.
Yeah. On behalf of a grateful species.
Thank you, Rhonda. Great stories.
How do you do Heimlich on yourself?
You just kind of like punch yourself in your sternum.
Don't you kind of run into the side of a desk? Isn't that what you're supposed to
do? Yeah. For me, I just like punched myself a couple of times and the chicken came up. I was eating like chicken a la king.
Is a heavy set person tougher to do a Heimlich to?
I don't know. Good question. All right, you want to promote our next thing now?
Wouldn't that be great if, like, you're sitting on a plane, you're sitting next to Anne Margaret, first class?
Yeah.
She starts choking?
Yep. I'm so proud of you. I'm just so proud
just
of you.
Just a way to...
You have updated your your reference from Joey Heatherton and Jane Mansfield to Anne Margaret.
People say, hey, you, groping Anne Margaret, cut that out. And then you have a perfect response. I'm doing the Heimlich. She wants me to do it. I'm saving her life.
This is great, man.
It's a win-win-win-win-win.
Your ideal female references have now moved up to 1968. No more 1961 references from Andy Breckman.
That's me.
1968 all the way. Anne Margaret. I am so proud of you.
That's me. Hey, stop groping Anne Margaret. Excuse me. Excuse me, stewardess.
I'm performing the Heimlich.
The Heimlich.
How come you've never used that joke in a movie?
That's too funny for my movies.
Yeah.
The laughter, you know, that joke, the laughter would ruin the timing for the rest of the movie.
Okay, Oscar in Somerville, Mass., you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi,
hey,
Oscar.
Hey, Oscar, thanks for calling. You love the show.
I love the show. I can't believe I got through.
Oh, that means the world to us, doesn't it, Kenny?
It does. Thanks, Oscar.
And Oscar, we have a T-shirt if you have a credible or semi-credible story about saving someone's life.
I do. So I used to work in a used record store, and one afternoon we were in there, and this woman comes in with an older guy, and she's, you know, talking a mile a minute, and we slowly realize that she's Courtney Love. And, you know, she's very nice. You know, she signs a record for us and everything, and then she leaves. But then she came back a few hours later in the evening when it was just me and my coworker there, and she comes to the door and says, "I'm a little drunk and I'm in a box set buy-in mood." So first thing she just
that's like music to your ears when you work in a music store.
Exactly. So first she spots a Gregorian chant box set that's $100, and she just produces a $100 bill and drops it on the counter. And then she spots the rest of the box sets, which are on a shelf behind the counter. And before I can say anything, she runs behind the counter and drags over a sitting stool and clambers on top of it to look at the box sets. And I realize as she's doing this that one of the legs of the stool is up on a runner for the sliding shelves. So only one of the feet is actually on the floor, and it's rocking as she's climbing up there. So before I say anything, I just clamber, I dive across the counter, and I hold the stool still while Courtney Love browses for box sets. And she's completely oblivious. Like, I don't think she even noticed that she almost broke her neck.
Hmm. Well, we're not sure if the stool would have fallen.
Yeah,
it was pretty rocky.
She might have just bruised her elbow.
Yeah, but it was a pretty tight counter. Like, I traced the ballistics. And,
I mean,
you know,
Courtney Love's pretty, she's pretty tough.
She might have fallen on her ego, and
that too.
Shield her fall. So I don't know. I don't know, Ken. Did this gentleman save? It's a great story. You can't beat a story that includes the sentence, "I'm a little drunk, and I'm in a box set buy-in mood." but I don't know.
It is a great story, Oscar, but sorry, no T-shirt.
And now,
bummer.
But now every time you hear Hole or Courtney Love, it probably changes that experience for you, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Did she buy anything, by the way?
Oh, she bought like several $100 worth of boxes.
And what year was this?
This is like maybe 5 years ago, 5 or 6.
Oh, more
really?
Recently. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I also have
a diabetic roommate for a couple years who, if I ever walked past his room at a certain time and noticed that his alarm was still going off, I would know that his blood sugar had dropped, so I would have to go into his room and pour Gatorade down his throat until he revived.
Well, that probably did save his life there. You mean he was so wasted or stoned or tired?
No, in diabetic shock.
Oh, he was in diabetic shock?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, this happens so often that I almost didn't even think to mention it.
But what would happen if you weren't home?
I guess he would have died. I guess I don't know that much about diabetes.
Well, he didn't die.
Yeah.
So that's another example. That's a gray area. I mean, you couldn't have been home every single time the event occurred.
I'd give a tank
top. Right, well, there were a few of us in the apartment.
I would do a tank top for that, but not a full T-shirt.
I'll take a tank top.
We don't have tank tops.
That's why Ken is so free with them. Ken, tank tops are everyone. .. If we had them.
All right. Thanks a lot, Oscar.
Welcome to WFMU.
Great stories.
Hey, if you're just tuning in, that sums up WFMU in a nutshell. I'll take a tank top. We don't have tank tops.
Matt Warwick has all the tank tops. Any tank top that comes our way, he steals.
He grabs?
Them. Yeah. People do send tank tops to us, and he steals them all.
So we have t-shirts going out. Speaking of t-shirts, to anyone that pledged money and was expecting a rock opera.
Yes,
is that right?
Had to give up on the rock opera.
Right.
Thanks to the 5 people who did submit tracks for the rock opera, they were excellent, but I didn't get enough to make the full rock opera. So we have created. Thanks to Rhinus in Latvia, the 7-second delay virtue signaling T-shirt.
And can they see a copy of it online?
They could, but I have not put one up yet.
When we put one up, we do have a grammatical question. Ken and I disagree about the wording on the T-shirt.
It's too late. That's how the T-shirt's getting printed.
It's too late. That's how the T-shirt's getting printed.
The point is that it's a virtue signaling T-shirt. It confers responsibility, ethics, wokeness, goodness on whoever wears the T-shirt.
No, it confers it about whoever wears the T-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a good virtue signaling product.
Right. Yeah.
But we should, do you want to read the text of it out loud?
I don't have it in front of me.
Okay.
7-second delay, the program, who hates anybody.
No, if you can't read it exactly... Don't even try.
Yeah.
We'll read it when we have it. So that's that. And then we also want to mention that we're looking for a producer. Veronica has been our producer for years and is still in town and still available. But she has a life apparently and a job. And
what a bunch of BS that is.
And sometimes cannot perform the duties required.
A life.
So we're looking for someone. Do they have to have radio producing experience?
No, I don't think they have to have production experience.
What would you be looking for? What kind of qualities in a producer?
It would help if they knew how to use MailChimp.
Okay.
They were computer savvy.
Right. They should have obviously good social skills. I mean, part of the job is helping us pre-produce the shows. We would confer with you.
Lining up guests, that kind of thing.
Yeah, we would confer with you on Monday or Tuesday, and you could help us pre-produce the show.
So if you can help out, email Andy.
No, don't email Andy. Never email Andy.
Okay.
Email Ken.
Email Ken at andybreckman@gmail.com.
Nope, don't do that. Please don't do that. You won't get a response.
Wait, that's not even your real email.
No, it's ken@wfmu.org.
Yes, that's the real email.
You can't afford a .com address. So we're looking for a producer, so that we can check that off. We have a live show. We're looking for live comics, right?
Yep, anybody who's done stand-up comedy.
Do they have to have experience, or can it be their first time on stage?
Uh, Well, I want to see, I want to hear or see some kind of example.
Dear God. Dear God.
It can be their second time on stage.
You mean there's some kind of criteria?
Yeah.
There's some bar that
yeah,
they
I mean,
can't
we
go
did,
below.
Yeah, I mean, we did a talent show a number of years ago, and we had about five stand-up comics, and I thought they were all great.
How many minutes would you give each comic?
Like 5 minutes each.
And they'd have to, and so that would be here in Jersey City.
Yeah. After that night's seven-second delay, it's the Mischief Comedy Night, Wednesday night, October 30th. Every person who comes gets a roll of toilet paper.
We do a comedy show, and then we all go out with our toilet paper, and we're going to TP K-Rock down the street.
What do you mean by TP?
We're going to throw toilet paper over the wires and doors and trees.
Right.
And the security guard.
And because they're on the 32nd floor, we're pretty much going to have to do the entire building.
Yeah.
So if you're a stand-up comic and you would like to get 5 minutes at the seven-second delay Mischief Comedy Night Wednesday night.
What a gig, man. What a launch pad.
Wednesday night, October 30th. Yeah. Email me, ken@wfmu.org.
Yeah.
I know there's some really good.
I know. Hey, stand-up comics out there, you're not dreaming. This is a legitimate offer. 5 minutes in Jersey City on a Wednesday night.
And we are going to have a prize for the best comic.
No, we're not.
Sure.
Who's
going to
judge the best comic?
Sam, the appraiser?
No. You know what we should do? All the comics that perform should vote on who's the best comic is. But you can't vote for yourself. It'll be a prize from your peers. It'll mean something.
Fair enough. That sounds good.
That does sound good.
Yeah.
And are you going to do comedy?
Maybe. Will you? I'll do it if you'll do it.
Hey, should I get out my Charlie, the ventriloquist dummy?
Sure. I'll do 5 minutes if you'll do 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'll do 5 minutes.
Okay.
Wait, are we going to record it and then that'll be a show?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Let's say maybe. We didn't want to do it live on the air because we wanted the comedians to have the freedom to curse.
Yeah.
So that's why we're not doing it live on the air. But for right now, we're looking for anybody who has saved somebody's life, provided that you have not saved the life of a moron.
We've given away two T-shirts. Haven't we?
Yeah. Well, one of them got two halves of a T-shirt, which equals one full T-shirt.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's
yeah.
right, Ken.
Yeah.
So we've given away two T-shirts already on behalf of a grateful species. If you saved a life, finally, long overdue, you get a thank you from the world via Ken and Andy.
And if you have saved somebody's life, give us a call at 201-209-9368. And Chris in New Jersey, you're on the air.
Yeah, how are you guys?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Chris. You love the show. You love the show.
Love the show, Chris.
You love the show.
Chris, you love the show.
You love the show.
Chris, you love the show.
Oh, hey, thanks very much, man.
Now, does being a retired cop count?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, no, I got a couple of those. We have a large, I'm not going to name the town in Jersey, but it's we have a large bridge, unfortunately, and people are jumping.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Bayonne. You're from Bayonne.
No.
You don't want to name... Wait, now, Chris...
Sayreville.
Perth Amboy.
Are you reluctant to name the town because you don't want to encourage kids to be jumping?
Well, it's right on the border of Perth Amboy, Sayreville.
Oh, the Driscoll Bridge. I didn't realize people jumped off the Driscoll Bridge. Wow.
Yeah. But it's not that bridge that it occurred. It occurred on a train bridge downtown.
Oh, baby.
An emotionally distressed person.
Did you stumble onto the person, or was it a call that came in?
No, I stumbled on. I was on patrol, and I saw him standing up there, and he was acting up, and he was hooting and hollering, and he was about to jump off the bridge as a train was going by. And
Oh man!
He's seen too many James Bond movies. Hey, and how did you come up behind him? Did you surprise him?
Yeah, I had to come up behind him and just like. I had to pull him down, and both of us fell about 4 feet down to the ground because it was either over the edge onto the train or down back onto the sidewalk.
Did he know you were approaching him, and the final lunge was a surprise, or did you surprise him completely?
An entire surprise. I got another good one.
Before we let go of this, this is great. Did he have the wherewithal? Was he together enough to thank you?
Oh, no.
And did you follow up? Do you now know where he is? I mean, do you feel responsible for that life?
I was a homeless person. So, you know, when Ken says, idiots, and that may count as one of those.
Yeah, I would say so.
So that's a half.
I had a homeless person once on a sub.
Man, you're tough, Ken. You're tough. So homeless people are half a people. Person, they're half a human in your eyes.
Garage on fire.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Fire was totally engulfed. Had to enter the garage. And
is this another? Is this another another homeless person?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's two halves.
He broke into a garage and lit a fire to keep himself warm, and the fire got spread to the entire garage.
Wow.
And unfortunately, upon saving his life, we had to also arrest him for arson and criminal mischief.
Well, of course.
Yeah. Well, Chris, these are great stories.
So you went in.
Off duty. My nephew, I did the Heimlich on. Big guy, standing next to me at a family picnic, and he had a big piece of London broil, a cold piece of London broil, got stuck in his throat. And before you know it, it was over in 5 seconds. I grabbed him. He keeled over. Big guy, grabbed him. Two good thrusts.
A big guy means a more powerful thrust is needed, I guess.
Yeah, you know, they say actually you could break a rib, and it's very common to break a rib. But I knotted my hands low on his gut.
Yeah.
And just pushed.
And now what was the aftermath of that? Did he buy you a drink? Did he thank you? Does he feel indebted to you now forever?
Yeah, he's my wife's nephew. So, I remember his mother making me a very large plate of antipasta in the sinks.
You know what I would do if I was you? I'd ask him to, like, clean your gutters, mow your lawn. I would give him a list of chores.
You know how you save yourself from when nobody's around? How to do the Heimlich on yourself?
Yeah, I did the Heimlich on myself
one time. You use a table or something, right? Or a chair.
A chair with a back, if possible, and it sounds kind of tough if you can hold it together. Just drop down. Oof. Or jump down on the back of that chair with your gut.
I managed to do it just with my fists.
That's the only way.
Ken, you weren't really choking.
I really was choking. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't speak. I could not breathe. I was turning blue.
Well, you might have just been listening to The First Sight of Tommy.
No, that was a different time. Hey, Chris, thanks for these stories. This is great. We're going to send you a T-shirt.
Yeah, because you saved two halves of a human being, according to Ken.
Okay, so that counts. Okay,
that does count. Yeah. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. 201-209-9368.
We're looking for people who've saved somebody's life.
Do you want to take another apology pause because you said this wouldn't work? Let's pause for a second.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, no problem.
I'm sorry, Andy. I was wrong.
Hey, maybe you'll trust me next time about my great 90-second loop.
Yeah, that's definitely not going to work.
Yeah, it's going to work great.
That's not going to work at all.
I agree. It's going to be fantastic.
Phone number is 201-209-9368 if you have ever saved somebody's life. Scott in Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Hey, gentlemen.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Scott. You love the show.
I love your show.
Oh, thanks, brother. Is there someone walking the earth? Is there a dead man walking that wouldn't be here?
He's dead now.
Oh, now he's really dead.
Sadly, nothing to do with me.
So your dead man walking is now dead.
Yes.
He's a dead man walking.
He's a dead man walking. You want the synopsis?
Yeah.
Well, I'll launch into the story. So I saved somebody from drowning. And he's the guy that smuggled Solzhenitsyn's Gulag Archipelago out of Russia.
Wow.
Out of the Soviet Union. Saved them from drowning. This is in Switzerland about, 2012, maybe 2000. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Did you know the gentleman before the incident or no?
He's an acquaintance, like a good friend of one of my best friends that lives in Bern in Switzerland. And he, he's an older guy, but he's like a little bull. He was a UN translator for a really long time. He's probably about 70, but very fit. I mean, everybody in Switzerland is just like fit like a horse or a bear. And they have this big river that goes down the middle of Bern, right down the middle of the city. I don't know if you've been there, but it's called the Aare, which is A-A-R-E, I think. And it's a very swift-moving river, And in the summertime, it's just what people do. They go floating down the river. They go swimming. They, you know, go get in their whatever watercraft they have. There's no motor, like no motorboats or anything. It's just very quiet, and people are drinking and smoking weed and having barbecues, and it doesn't always mix. But so anyway, so I was having, I was hanging out there with my friends in the river, you know, within the city, and so I asked Sasha, the guy who was the translator that smuggled the Gulag Archipelago out, if he wanted to go for a swim. So he's like, yeah, let's go. So we hopped in the water, and the water is moving very fast, and it's a wild river still. I mean, it's a glacier-fed river. You know, the Alps are within sight, and so we're floated down, and then there's this, one of these little eddies, you know what I mean? Like, the water kind of goes off towards the bank.
Yeah.
And makes a swirl.
Yeah.
And I looked over, and Sasha wasn't there. And this guy, idiot on the bank, he says, oh, I think your friend is in trouble. And it's like, oh, thanks. And the guy didn't budge, didn't get off the rock. And so I kind of dove down to look for Sasha. And he grabbed my leg. And I was like, he's going to pull me down. And I mean, I'm a pretty strong swimmer. And he was just such a strong guy. And he was, you know, he was way under the water.
Wow.
Like, you know, like if, you know, what, 5 feet down. Like head down. And so finally, somehow, he popped up. And I, you know, I felt like, you know, either I did it or just it happened. I don't know.
Well, but it sounds like you certainly,
yeah,
you certainly.
I, you know, did the classic sort of Boy Scout, whatever thing, something I learned in Scouts.
Yeah, you came up behind
him. Swimming sideways down the river with him, kind of, and he couldn't breathe. Got him out into the shallows, and his daughter was just waiting there. Like, it was weird. I mean, the river was full of people, and nobody was helping me at all.
Wow.
It was bizarre. The odd thing is, so he was very appreciative. You know, he wasn't, you know, effusive, but he was, you know, he was not like an emotional person, but he was pretty shook up by it. The weird thing is, like, 2 or 3 years later, he committed suicide in the river, in the same river.
Jeez.
In the middle of the winter.
You mean maybe he had a taste for it during that incident, and he longed for it?
Yeah, I mean, he's
Well, okay, so here, okay, so now there are a couple of factors, though, that are extenuating here, Ken.
Yeah.
Here, now, listen to this.
He was Swiss. I see where you're going with this. He was Swiss.
He brought out that big book that people had to read because he brought it out.
Right.
Right? We wouldn't have to read that book if it wasn't for him.
Damn Solzhenitsyn book.
It's like 500 pages.
Yeah.
All right, but here, but listen to this. Our caller, what's our caller's name?
Scott.
Scott. Scott, you mentioned that you invited the victim into the water. It was your idea to go swimming.
This is true.
It's not unlike if in our previous calls, cutting up the guy's meat and then feeding him the meat that he ended up choking on. You got him into the water.
I mean, I literally turned on the radio because I forgot to switch it on this evening.
Yeah.
And I just heard, even say some of the lights. I didn't know if there were any.
No, we've had a number of Heimlich calls, but we're trying to keep our standards a little higher, and I'm not sure this.
Oh, I think it qualifies.
I don't know. And also. Also, could this gentleman have popped up back to the surface on his own? That's a variable. We don't know. It's a question mark.
Well, even he was dragging me down.
Even so. Scott would admit. And the other thing is, Ken, consider this too. Factor this in, Ken. The victim went back to the river and jumped in and stayed under a few years later.
You just take the German-speaking part of Switzerland. Admit it.
I don't know if this case qualifies.
Scott. I was going to say, because he was Swiss, it's just a tank top, but you've convinced me you get a T-shirt.
Oh, why don't you give him a tank top? No. Oh, no, Scott. Wait, dig this, Scott. Hey, let's send him a tank top, Ken. What's preventing you from sending him a tank top? You made the offer, Ken, a very generous offer.
I don't have any.
Oh, no tank tops. Oh.
So I know. I guess, Ken, I do have a suggestion, but I don't have to tell you now.
Okay.
But
I guess why don't you send people a T-shirt and a pair of scissors,
ball
Ken?
Cap. Why we don't make them.
Thanks for the story, Scott.
Yeah.
All right. I hope that guy got my email address right.
Yeah. Nick the Bard. He always gets them right. Thank you, Scott.
Boy, you're sending out a few T-shirts here. This is very generous of you.
Hey, I have one more thing I want to promote here.
Oh, good.
We're having a listener art auction.
Oh, good.
Yeah. and also in Monty Hall on Saturday, October 19th.
How can someone submit their art for that?
The deadline for submissions is September 30th, and we're looking for your portraits or illustrations or sculptures of your favorite musicians or bands.
And you split the proceeds?
Nope, it's a benefit for WFMU.
And but anyone that contributes will get a tank top?
Nope.
Huh.
I could probably steal a tank top or two from
what's
Matt Warwick.
What's in it for them?
Just to come to take part in a fun event.
Oh, you left them in free?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean if their painting is hanging, they get in free?
You're asking really hard questions here, but yeah, let's assume so.
I just don't understand the angle here. What's your angle?
It's a benefit. It's a benefit for the radio station.
People will send you contribute their portraits or their paintings.
Yeah.
You'll put them up on the wall. Other listeners will show up. Do they pay an admission to get in?
Probably, yeah.
And then they have to buy the paintings.
Right.
And who sets the price for the paintings?
Sam, the appraiser.
What a ripoff. Come to the comedy show. What is the comedy show?
There's information about the Icons of Note art auction on WFMU.org. Yeah. You can also email art@WFMU.org.
Or wait a week, we're TPing K-Rock. We're going out with toilet paper to TP K-Rock.
Yeah, that's the Mischief Comedy Night on...
Yeah, oh, and there'll be comedy.
Wednesday, October 30th.
Yeah.
And Patrick in Milltown, you're on the air.
Hey, love the show. Can't believe I got through.
Thanks, Patrick. That means the world to us, doesn't it, Kenny?
It does.
You're the fish we wanted to catch.
So I've got a story about a time I saved somebody's life.
Okay. If we believe you and it's compelling enough, you get a T-shirt heading your way.
That's all I ever wanted.
Exactly.
That's really why I save people's lives. So anyway, it was a couple of years back. It was Thanksgiving night. It was kind of cold out, and I left my parents' house. It's dark outside. I'm driving, and I see some strange object on the side of the road, kind of like sticking out into the road, but also in the ditch. And as I get closer, I notice it's a person, and they're kind of like tangled up in their bicycle, and they're, you know, lying on the ground.
Oh my God!
So I pull. Yeah. So I pull over. You know, it's really cold out, and I don't know if this guy was hit by a car, hit and run, or what.
Was he Swiss? Was he Swiss? Was he American, you think?
Was he homeless? Ken is asking if he counts as a full person.
I'm getting up closer to him, and he starts moving a little bit. And as I get closer, I notice it's a homeless bum lying. He's tangled up in his bicycle on the side of the road.
Half a person.
And he starts groaning a little bit, but he's kind of passed out.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to. He's a homeless bum, so I don't want to catch a disease or
anything. Wait. He's a homeless bum with a bicycle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a homeless bum living large.
No.
He was putting on the wrist a little bit. He was showing off a little bit.
I guess so. Years. Look at my bicycle. I've got no place to park it, but look at my bike.
I'm not trying to judge him or anything. I'm thankful.
Was it a 10 speed?
You know, a car, and he only has a bicycle.
10 speed?
It was only one gear, so...
Oh, okay.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? He's homeless. So, okay, so there's a bum. He's on the road. He's in a ditch. And then how did you save him?
It's like 34 degrees. It's like heavy sweater weather, you know, and he's a homeless bum, so he doesn't have a sweater. And
I would have traded my bike for a sweater, but that's just me. Okay, so you got him to the hospital?
No, I just called the cops. Turns out he's the town drunk, and he does this all the time.
I don't know about this story. I don't know, Kenny. This guy might just be looking. This guy might be just looking for a night in a nice warm drunk tank, right?
But yeah, I helped him out. I gave him that.
He was in the middle of the road, though.
Yeah. He could have gotten run over. It was really dark. Yeah,
Would he have gotten run over? Would he have died?
Coulda. Coulda. Woulda. Shoulda.
It's possible that he wanted to get run over, and I accidentally ruined his plan. I didn't think about that until just now.
Okay, I'm going to leave this up to Ken. It's Ken, you're the guy who has to send out these T-shirts.
Yeah, what the hell?
You're saying yes?
Yeah. Because he didn't have a 10-speed. It was just like a Schwinn. Didn't have a really great bike.
Yeah. Thanksgiving.
He wasn't Swiss.
Thanksgiving. Cold. These homeless people drive me crazy. This is a true story. A homeless guy in New York asked me for money a couple weeks ago. Uh-huh. I'm not making this up. It sounds like I am.
Yeah.
Less than 20 feet away, an ATM. All the money in the world right there.
Well, he probably...
He couldn't just get up and go the 20 feet. It makes me so mad.
Well, if he wasn't so lazy, he wouldn't be homeless.
He probably didn't have an ATM card. He probably didn't have a bank account.
Oh, maybe. I see.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. Oh, I see what you're saying. He was poor.
Right.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. Oh, man, I wish you were there with me.
Patrick, thanks for your call.
I now regret ranting and raving at him. Oh, my God. Oh, man, I owe that guy an apology.
Yeah, you sound like these politicians who say, like, if you need health care, just go to the emergency room.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's like me.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm like.
So how many T-shirts did we give away? Jeez. Boy, oh, was
man,
I...
Man, I'm glad. Man, you're pretty generous.
Was I wrong about this show?
You're pretty generous with those T-shirts.
Man, oh, man.
Hey, are you going to send him our new Virtue Signaling T-shirt?
Yes.
Well, that'll teach him a lesson.
Yep.
To stop calling radio shows.
Yeah, they'll be too embarrassed to wear it.
Yeah. I don't think they'll ever use their phone again.
Unless they, you know, can proudly wear a rainbow-colored, you know, woke T-shirt.
I can't wait to get my cop, my...
you and t-shirt. I are pictured on it.
Oh, is there any way to Photoshop us out of that?
It's too late. It's got bad grammar.
Yeah, we've got to get that T-shirt and ask our listeners.
Non photoshopped images of.
So that T-shirt's going out in lieu of our marathon gift. Yes. What happened to our marathon gift, Ken? Came together.
I didn't come together. I didn't. I got five good tracks.
Too much work. Too much work for Ken. If it's not the path of least resistance, you won't see Ken Friedman there. I believe they named the path of least resistance after Ken Friedman. I believe it's called Friedman Way. Okay, and then we plug our live show. We have a live show, Mischief Night,
Wednesday, October 30th. We're looking for stand-up comedians. Email me, ken@wfmu.org, if you'd like to do 5 minutes.
Be there and be square. I'm going to do 5 minutes. Ken's going to do 5 minutes. And then when it's all over... The end of the show, everyone gets toilet paper, and we go marching down the street.
That's right.
To TPK Rock. Their studio is up the street.
Oh, man. They are not going to see it coming.
No. The only way anyone would see it coming is if they listened to this broadcast.
Well, that's never going to happen.
No. And we should also mention that we're looking for a producer, someone that you don't need radio experience. You just need to not recoil at the thought of working with me and Ken.
Yeah, and, you know, some guts, the ability to make cold calls.
Some common sense.
Some common sense, some computer skills.
You got to be a people person.
MailChimp.
Veronica is a tough act to follow.
Well, you'll be working alongside Veronica.
Yeah, Veronica will still be with us, I hope. Yeah.
Hey, man, Nick the Bard worked his butt off tonight. Thank you, Nick.
Yeah, he was taking addresses. And we're back tomorrow, next week, I mean?
Tomorrow.
Not tomorrow.
No, we're back tomorrow night.
Okay. You start without me. I'll catch up.
Okay. No, you are back next Wednesday night.
I'll be here. I wouldn't miss it. Oh, listen to that. The sweetest sound on earth. Listen to that.
And you're no longer 100% unemployed. Is that right?
I've taken some jobs, yeah.
That's the rumor I'm hearing.
Yeah. But...
I think some of the weeks you missed in the last month were actually... Due to work, right?
Well, I was out to L.A. I go out there like a salesman, like Willie Loman, selling my wares.
Yeah.
We should explain to our listeners, work is when you you perform services and for an employer who then pays you cash or
what are they paying
check.
You?
They pay you in exchange for the services you provided.
Like what kind of service?
Well, in this case, I'm a writer, and I'm working for a...
They pay you for writing?
Yeah, but you can work in all sorts of...
I can write stuff?
Yeah.
This sounds insane.
No, it's the basis of our economy. It keeps the wheel spinning. You wouldn't know about it.
It's
no,
very funny.
No, none of our listeners would.
This is a good one.
Hey, you know how to clear out if there's a... If there's a WFMU party, like a Christmas party,
how do you?
And
do
there's
it?
A million DJs and yeah. FMU listeners and fans in the building, and maybe you smell smoke and you want to clear them out.
What do you do?
Well, yelling smoke or fire, that might not work, but if you drop an employment application on the floor, that often will clear out this group.
Tell the joke about the trading goods and services for money again.
No,
that was a good one.
Oh, I hate you. Sometimes I just hate you.
This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope.
What's wrong with me?
In New York City in Rockland County.
What am I doing here?
At 91.9 FM.
Hey, if anybody knows what I'm doing here, give us a call at 201-209-9368.
Yeah,
just explain to me why I spend an hour on the road.
90 seconds.
Each way.
Andy needs to know why.
Yeah, just tell me. I'm just curious.
Give us a call. Nick the Bard, don't screen the next call.
And I will never ask again. I just need to know why I come. 201-209-9368. Ken, do you know why you're here?
I don't. I don't know either, but I don't need to know.
I'm curious.
I'm just operating on autopilot.
Sometimes I'm curious.
No.
What the hell am I doing here?
If you can answer that question.
Every week, every Wednesday, I leave this building and I say the same thing to myself.
55
what the
seconds.
Hell was that about?
50 seconds to answer Andy's question. What the hell is he doing here? 201-209-9368.
Please, Nick, don't screen anyone.
Coming
Please.
Up next, it's Radio Vert with Nicole. Tonight, Nicole reads, "Now Dress Me in My Finest Suit and Lay Me in My Casket" by the author M. Bernardo.
She reads a short story.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Oh, great. Finally, the answer I've been waiting for.
What's the answer?
You do it for the kids, Andy. For the kids.
For the kids.
The kids are our future.
All right. Somebody else has an answer. Why's Andy do it?
How else would you share your genius with the world?
Now, this is a good topic for a show. We've stumbled with minutes to go on a great topic. We'll try it again.
All right. We got to clear out for Nicole.
Okay.
Every night, as a young girl, I would help my grandfather finish dressing in his nicest, cleanest suit. He would stand in his black gold-toed socks on the bedroom rug, his twill trousers hanging slack, as he threaded cufflinks through the buttonholes of his shining white shirt. His tie knot was always a double Windsor, with a tie pin pushed through it to keep it in place above the collar. A cheap manufactured ruby on the end of the pin to match the cufflink. His gray hair was carefully shaped and parted too, then sprayed into permanent obedience, the individual marks of the comb teeth preserved like furrows in a field. Earlier, just after dinner, there had been a fresh shave for his cheeks and neck, a fresh trim for his mustache, and two quick, sharp splashes of aftershave that lingered, now in a muddled miasma of witch hazel and alcohol. Any night of the week, my father might pass by as I helped my grandfather into the cool black sleeves of his jacket, dusting his shoulders and back for stray cat hairs. Father wouldn't say anything, wouldn't even look in the room. But a slam of the door down the hall would let us know how he felt. "No shoes," Grandfather would say to me, as if he were imparting a great secret of life. "No shoes and no hat. And every pocket empty." After that, there would be only the newly pressed crimson pocket square for his jacket breast, and then the short climb up to the casket, where I would help him lay down on his back, his eyes closed and his hands folded over his stomach, black plastic rosary beads spilling over bloodless white fingers. "Good night, Patty," he would say. "Good night, Grandpa," I would reply. Then I would screw the casket lid down and leave him inside until morning.